Tonight's a little bit different. Trev has asked me to speak a bit about my story, about how I came to faith and how God has been shaping me as a person, what God's been doing in my life. And so it will tie in with the readings, mostly Romans 12. I don't think I say anything actually about Psalm 19, but it's it's a psalm that resonates with my story. So my story in my Christian faith started as my mum was a Christian and she took me to church every Sunday along with my sisters. So from a very, very young age, I've always believed in God. To comprehend a life without God almost seemed harder for me to believe that than one with him. Growing up, I just knew God was always near. I knew that he was there and I knew that he loved me. And on the surface, if you looked at my life growing up, sure, I was a ratbag kid just as any other kid, you know. They're mean to their siblings and don't obey their parents and all those things. But, you know, those little sins, you know, we expect of most people. But on the surface, if you looked at me, you'd say, yeah, he's a good kid. He's someone who went to church every week. Got involved. I played on the piano probably every second or third week once I could hold a tune. And one of the best things for me was being given that opportunity to be able to play piano. And I don't think I was actually that good right from the start. But if you listen to the encouragement from the people who were in church, you would think that I was amazing. But I think I just had some really encouraging people who just was like, it's great to see you serving. And so I think that's been one encouragement for me, probably in my job today, working in kids and youth ministry, is encouraging young people to continue striving in their faith. I was not just good at church, but good at school. I, you know, was obedient at school. I got good grades. I would often be doing good things outside of school, like raising money for charity. You know, if the 40-hour famine came on, I was there doing it. If there was the world's greatest shave, I did that. I cut off all my hair. I had long hair like Matt almost and cut all my hair off. All these things made me appear like I, you know, was loving God, living for God. But I think what kept me living this way was the people that had surrounded me. My mum was very instrumental in making sure I had good, positive people around me. Whenever there was that kid that would start to lead me astray, she quickly guarded me from those relationships and encouraged me to spend time in other places. Towards the end of high school, as I was the youngest in my grade, and so a lot of my friends turned 18 before I did. I think I went to my first 18th birthday party when I was about 15. And it was at these 18th parties that I got introduced to alcohol. Because turning 18, that's what it was all about. Here in Victoria, you get to drive, you know, when you turn 18. But we were already driving at 17 in Sydney. So 18 was about drinking and voting. And really, only one of them sounded interesting. Voting was not up there. I'd go to these parties and on the inside of me, I just felt like I really needed to fit in. And I felt the pressure. People invited me to drink alcohol, but I just felt like I have to drink alcohol if I want to be included in my group of friends. It wasn't just that. I was curious. I was curious. What is alcohol like? I wanted to experience everything in life. I'm a bit of a curious sort of person. I'll often try things and deal with the consequences later. So I'd been a really great student at this time. And then just as I started to enter this scene of going out and partying, my focus was being shifted away from doing good things to trying to fit in. And I think a lot of us in our teenage years would relate to that, where we go, who am I? And trying to relate to the people is how I find my identity. When I finished school, no longer did I have my mum corralling me and making sure I made good friends. She did come with me to O Week and made sure I signed up with some good little groups here and there. I was 17 at the time still, so I wasn't quite an adult at that time. But in that week, it's interesting the clubs and societies that you meet at university. I got to meet two distinct groups when I was in O Week, and there was the Christian Union, wonderful group, and if you're ever at university or you know someone going to university, highly encourage, get involved with an AFES group or a Christian group on campus. The other group was the Exercise Sports Science Student Association, or ESSA, as it was commonly known as. And ESSA was not about exercise sports science. It was run by sports science students, but essentially it was a social club to promote pub crawls. And so I went to these events thinking, oh, here's where I'm going to meet some friends. And really, it was just a cover to go, let's see how much alcohol we can drink for as cheap as we can. I made some really good friends in this group, though. Some wonderful people who really cared for me, especially when things got a little bit loose. But there's some lifelong friends that I have formed there. It was in that, though, that I was sucked in by what other people were doing, that I had to try and fit and conform to the world that was happening around me. They were fun, and I had a lot of fun attending all these different events. They always had a theme. You dressed up as something, and you know, you'd walk around town in your fancy dress, and it was a lot of fun. While I was doing this, though, I was still attending church every week. So don't hear me saying that I'd been distracted and therefore I wasn't at church. I was at church every Sunday. Sometimes I'd be coming home at 1 a.m. on a Sunday morning and still attending church that morning. And I could keep these two worlds operating at length from each other, but they, one didn't know about the other. So I was at church, they didn't know anything about my partying lifestyle and out partying, they knew nothing about my religious faith. I felt like a fraud, living these two lives. I felt like I had this split personality. I did mention that while I was at uni, I met some people from Christian Union, and the president of Christian Union, his name was Grant, he was a physio student. Every time he saw me, he would just say, hey, we've got the Tuesday Bible talks, why don't you come down? Why don't you come and listen to some? And as I was a person who was so concerned with what people thought of me, of course I said yes. Why would I say no? I was just a yes man. I would say yes to everything. And so it was just a matter of who the people were in my life that I was going to say yes to. And that's why early on in my life, I think I had this quite, on the surface, looked like a really good lifestyle, because I was just saying yes to good people. I eventually went along to our Tuesday Bible Talks. And as I got involved, I got some training. I became a small group leader. And as I became more and more involved in Christian Union, I was less and less involved in the Exercise Sports Science Student Association. Occasionally, I'd still go to the ESSA events, especially when someone invited me along, because I'd said yes to everyone. I think the way that I knew that one was good for me and one was bad. And so my attitude to life was I would just surround myself with people who were going to encourage me to do the right things. And so that was how I was going to do it. Nothing had changed in me. I said yes to whoever I wanted. It was still an insecurity in me that I couldn't actually have a backbone and stand up for myself and say, no, this is what I want to do. But it was just a way of, I guess, in a way going, oh, finding some middle ground. Maybe I wouldn't feel like a fraud anymore if I'm just associating with one group. The idea of a Christian convent or a commune sounded like heaven to me, because if I could just be surrounded by the right people, then life would be good. But I think, looking back on my life, I see that even when I was surrounded by Christian Union and I was doing these Bible studies and I was heavily involved in church, God wasn't my number one. My number one was me. I wanted to do what fitted me, not God. True, being in a Christian community means that I was in a better place to hear from God. Yes, I did hear from God. Yes, I turned to God. Yes, I really believed. I was saved. I don't think I wasn't saved in this. But I feel like there was this moment for me where I got to really start to understand, what has God got in store for me? I believe a life as a Christian is one that is about continual growth. If you're not growing, you're backsliding, I think. So it's a good question to ask us, are we growing? How have we grown in the last week? How have we grown in the last month? How have we grown in the last year? Are we seeing growth? And if we're not, maybe we have to think, are we pursuing God? I think the way I'd describe my life with God was I would sort of be in this oscillating pattern with God, where I'd have full devotion to God at times, especially when we'd have a mid-year camp or we'd have some high point conference or something, and then it would dip down to, there were other things that took my time and attention, whether it be assignments, whether it be girls, whether it be anything that wasn't God. We do this all the time. We constantly, I think the spiritual battle is, how do we keep God as number one? But in each stage of my life, my desire for approval and my fear of rejection were what directed my steps. So from in high school, or even earlier than that, to university, to even being involved in Christian circles, I'd replaced one community's approval by another and by another. Nothing had actually changed except the people that I was seeking approval from. I think when I joined the Christian Union, I could justify this. I could justify my actions because at least I was reading God's word. At least I was encouraging people to come and know Jesus. But deep down, I valued the approval of people more than I valued God's approval of me. In the Bible, I admire characters like Joseph from Genesis and Daniel, men who stood up for what they believed in, even though they could see the consequences ahead of them. This was not going to work out well for them. But they did have a hope, they had a faith that there was a God who was watching their steps. One that promised to prosper them if they were faithful. In Romans 12, as we read, right at the start of Romans 12, we're told to not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. To be honest, I still struggle with the desire to gain approval from the world. Often after I give a sermon, I'll get feedback from people. And generally, it's pretty positive. People say, hey, thank you so much for sharing. That was really encouragement to me. Something along those lines. And do you know what happens to me? I feel like Superman. I just think, I am awesome. Go me. Woo! When I get critical feedback, I'm like, oh, I'm the worst person in the world. I've just wasted their time. I'm useless. They're still real feelings for me. And look, after the service, encourage me, criticize me, whatever. Like, I should be able to deal with it when I've been sort of meditating on this scripture a little bit. But they're real feelings that we seek approval. But we just need to make sure we look for approval in the right places. These desires that we have, whether it be to seek approval or whether it is to find comfort in our world or whether it is to grab hold of power or control in some ways, every time we do this and not actually seek God in these things, that's where we start to not see God's way of, like, his best plan for our life. The way we can prevent ourselves from being conformed to the pattern of this world is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds are renewed when we grab hold of what God says who we are, what God says is his plan for the world. But it's hard to believe that we're loved and approved when we're just so aware of our shortcomings, when we're so aware of our sin. But what we need to remember as God's children is to not look at ourselves and value ourselves about whether we're worthy to come before God. We're not. We are so not worthy to come into the holy presence of God. He's perfect. We just cannot do anything to meet that mark. And so if your eyes are looking inward, you're not going to be able to find a way to come before God. What we need to do is look at what God says we are and how God describes us only because of what Jesus has done for us in the great exchange that happened on the cross. Those words that God said to Jesus at his baptism, "This is my son who I'm well pleased with," are the same words he says to every person who puts their faith in Jesus. Because Jesus' righteousness became our righteousness. As he took on our sin, he removed our sin from ourselves, and now we are made righteous. We don't just have an absence of sin, but we have been imparted his righteousness as well. What a great gift that is. It might not physically feel like that's happened, but God has declared it. He's said that that is true. And so if you don't believe that, then you're not believing God, who is faithful and true. Although I stumble, and although you stumble, the forgiveness that is found on the cross was forgiveness for your sins, past, present, future. Our call on our life, and I will still continue to stumble, but for me and for you, I encourage us to all look to who God says we are. Look what Jesus has done on the cross and know that we are righteous. What you see in Jesus is what God says about you. Because what he has done, he has given to us. So when we're weak, let's fix our eyes on Jesus. By his Spirit, he will enable us to say yes to his way. Let's pray. Father God, this world has lots of things that seek to allure us. And there's desires in our world. They come from within. We have longings. And we try to find short-term fixes for those longings. But God, you are eternal and you are perfect. You are powerful. You are loving. You are faithful. Help us to trust you. Help us to take you at your word. Help us to know that we are justified through faith, not by our works, so that no one may boast. Thank you for providing a way that it was only by your great plan, your great love for us, that we can be saved, that we can come back to be in a relationship with you. So, God, I pray that tonight that you would help us end our patterns of trying to earn your approval. But rather, would you give us a mind that will understand that you have called us your children. You have called us righteous. And help us to live in line as your children. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.